podcast number 12 on March 11th of 2024. Beware the Abandoned, Chapter 20, The Heiress. Upon completing the recording of all this novel's chapters, I will commence narrating my second novel, Duel, which will be followed by my third novel, Using Drought USA. The transcript of today's chapters are included with this podcast. All my books are immediately available as an ebook and also as print books at Amazon.com. For more information on all my books and podcasts, go to www.informus.ca. I always enjoy answering questions from my readers and listeners all over the world. Address your email to imacd@informus.ca. Mid-morning, 2 years after John Crafts purchased the golf course, he stood in the club's small pro shop with two corporate executives. They had traveled from D.C. to see whether the golf course would be suitable for their next sales meeting. 50 of their employees would be coming. With the kickbacks the Benji Beach Golf Club got from the local hotels, the three-day event would bring in more than $150,000 in revenue. The executives had told John that for 3 days they would like to hold their meetings in the morning and play golf in the afternoon. Eager to show them how great the Benji Beach Golf Club could be for their sales meeting, John had asked them to drive down from Washington and join him for a round of golf and lunch. A third executive who was to join them had to attend some disaster. As they stood listening to Andrew Brown, the golf pro, selling the virtues of the course, an attractive woman entered the pro shop. She waved at Andrew, who smiled and waved back. The two prospective customers looked her over. "Who is that?" whispered the taller executive. "That," Andrew replied, "is Miss Naomi Green, the heir to the Green Line engine fortune." John's back was to her. He had missed her entrance. He turned to see what had captured their attention. She flashed him a big smile. That she had obviously got their attention amused her. All four of them smiled back at her, convinced that her smile had only been meant for them and them alone. Andrew asked, "How are you today, Miss Green?" "I'm fine, Andy, but I hope that I could get in a round of golf this morning. Will anyone be needing a fourth?" The executives did not miss this opportunity. The taller one responded, "We're missing a fourth. Why don't you join us?" John, amused at this added club feature, could see it helping him close the sale. He was not about to object to his guest's fantasies about playing golf with a beautiful woman. "Are you sure?" she coyly replied. The two executives abandoned John and Andrew and moved closer to Naomi. "Oh, we would be more than pleased to have you join us." They introduced themselves. She shook their hands and was obviously enjoying their drooling attention. John glanced at Andrew, who gave him a nod as if to say, "She really is something." The short white golf skirt did an excellent job of showing off her long, tanned legs. Naomi Green appeared to be an excellent example of good health. She was neither thin nor fat. With her blonde hair tied back, it emphasized her high cheekbones and hazel eyes. John was more than just attracted to Naomi. That bothered him. He had always seen himself as an island, a fortress, not needing anyone, totally focused on only growing his business for the benefit of the sanctuary. Andrew and John joined the two gray-haired executives. They were monopolizing Naomi's attention like a couple of high school kids. Andy interjected, "Naomi, I've got someone I'd like you to meet." John Crass smiled at her. Naomi smiled back. "This is Raymond Powell, the owner of the golf club. John, this is Naomi Green. Her dad's been a member here long before I showed up." "Glad to meet you, Mrs. Green." "It's Miss Green. Pleased to meet you, Mr. Powell." "It's just Raymond. Can I get your clubs for you?" "My, my, my. Such service. Why, thank you, Raymond." The foursome teed off. Naomi joined John in his golf cart. The two executives shared a cart. They would have preferred to have ridden with Naomi. John admired her swing. The ball soared straight and true. She was a great golfer. The executives were more intent in watching her than concentrating on their game. After watching her execute a beautiful shot in the 10th hole, he nodded to her and said, "Very nice. You are very good." It was his turn. He teed off. The ball landed a few feet from the hole. Naomi laughed after his shot and said, "Thanks for the last compliment. After your shot, it is a real compliment. I believe I'm looking at our next club champion." "No, that's not about to happen. I like to keep a low profile. Will you join us for lunch?" "You're winning. I'd be glad to join you for lunch, but only if I pay." "That's nice of you to offer, but it's my club, and you and the other gentlemen are my guests. You can help me convince them to hold their sales meeting at Benji Beach." During lunch, the two executives kept checking their watches. John had advised Matteo Defina to prepare a special meal that would impress his guests. They raved about the food, but were anxious to get back to Washington before rush hour turned its streets into one big parking lot. They skipped dessert, thanked John for a great day, and assured him that they would complete things in the next few days. After they left, John and Naomi sat sipping their coffee and enjoying a plate of fresh fruit and imported cheeses. Naomi told him how much she enjoyed the elegance of the members' private dining room. John smiled and said, "It pleases me to hear you say that. With all the changes I made to the club, I expected to lose the long-standing members." "Quite the contrary. You've breathed life into this club. It was dying before you took it over. The ladies especially like the little touches you've added. Those with children especially appreciate the babysitting service." Since they all worry about their weight, they also raved about the low-calorie, low-sodium, healthy lunches that you've made available at Mateo's. When they are having a busy day and don't want to cook, they appreciate being able to bring home your great food for their kids. The kids like your pizzas, so do their husbands. John laughed as he said, "Enough. I'm getting a swell head, but I'm disappointed that you don't mention the new wine list." "Oh, I noticed the wine list, monsieur. C'est très élégant. What wine is your favorite?" "Yesterday I had a warm Haruko Tsuru Jinmari Jinko Wasaki to go with my miso-rubbed roast chicken breast and sushi rice pilaf." "My God, that rolls off your tongue like liquid honey." The women members were glad to see you getting away from steak and more steak. "Hey, we do great steaks too." "You do, but a choice is nice. Tell me about yourself." "Not much to tell. I'm 31, spoiled, independent, selfish, and like playing golf. Oh yeah, I've got an MBA from Harvard." "And what do you do with your MBA from Harvard?" "What do you mean, do? Do you mean, where do I work?" "Yeah, I don't work." "That's interesting. You must share your secret with me. It sounds like a great trick if you can pull it off. You don't look like you are starving." "What? Now you're telling me I'm fat?" John smiled. He said, "Oh, you are far from fat. I would say you are perfect." Naomi laughed as she responded, "Oh, I am far from perfect. I don't work because I'm the only grandchild of a wealthy man. He provided for me in his will. My father taught me how to invest the money in the stock market, and I live off the income of a well-diversified stock portfolio. The MBA was to get a better understanding of the business world, not to get a job. Beautiful, smart, and rich too. Here's a toast to Naomi Green. May the wind be always at your back. They raise their glasses and clink them. As they did, John couldn't help comparing her aristocratic life of privilege to his escape from dire poverty. A background that never let him escape, the nagging fear of being dragged back into poverty. He felt he should let her know they had something in common, so he said, although I didn't get an MBA from Harvard, I did get an MBA from a small, obscure university in the Southwest. Why am I not surprised? Are you from the Southwest? Yeah, I was born in Los Angeles. When I was 12, I was orphaned. After that, an institution in New Mexico took me under its wing and educated me. They prepared me for a life in business. I was lucky. Was this a religious institution? Not as you would see it. Are you religious? Do you mean in the conventional sense of a belief in some ancient, omnipotent being flying around in the heavens, controlling everything? Yeah, no, I'm not religious. I'm not able to conceive of something that is so powerful that it is inconceivable. An omnipotent being is too far removed from reality, even if such a being might exist. I saw too much horror as a kid that I cannot believe that anything other than myself is in control of my actions and my destiny. What I do believe in is random luck and coincidences. People do get hit by lightning bolts, just like I had the good luck of being plucked off the streets of Los Angeles as an abandoned child. I would probably have died on those streets and never had the good fortune of meeting you. That sounds heavy. What are those horrors you have seen? John caught himself. He was far from Los Angeles. Raymond Powell was far from Phoenix. He chastised himself for getting sloppy and letting his guard down. Such a lapse with the wrong person could cost him his life. All it would take is one mistake like that at the wrong time, and either the FBI or the Las Vegas mob would have him. He'd better lay off the wine. For several uncomfortable seconds, all the raw memories from his youth and his flight from Las Vegas washed over him. He responded, "Sorry, but I don't talk about the past. What is past is in the past. I gain nothing but depression by dredging it up. I live in the present. I look to the future." Naomi knew when to retreat. "Raymond Powell, you are an interesting man. I've never met anyone quite like you. You're not like the boys I grew up with." He replied, "You should run for the hills. I could be dangerous." "True, but I like to live on the dangerous side." John laughed and replied, "I've never met anyone quite like you either. I want to know you better. I would like that. I don't feel like working, and you don't have to work. Let's drive up the coast. We'll see a movie in Dover and then get dinner." "That sounds like fun, but I need to change and freshen up. Could you pick me up in an hour?" "Great. Where do I find you?" From her purse, Nimue took out a small notepad and wrote her address and phone number on it. She slid it across the table to John. He picked it up, looked at it, and smiled. "I know where this is. It must be in one of those exclusive, giant beach houses north of town." John pulled her chair out, walked her to her car. It was a silver BMW 6501 convertible. He had expected nothing less. It gave a throaty growl as she pulled out of the parking lot. He went upstairs to his apartment to shower and change. Thanks for listening. The next podcast will follow in a few days. If you send me an email requesting that I inform you when each new podcast has been posted. It will add your name to a register and include you in an email that I send to all podcast listeners who have registered.